Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 Park Instruction, Section 1, boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9. Respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, I'm attended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4, boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1, boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2, Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue jeans, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for joining us live today on the LP Zone, the Loss Prevention Zone, where it's all about LP, mall security, retail security, fraud investigations, and everything that has to do with, you know, those big box stores, the loss prevention departments, those shopping malls, both the enclosed and those that are kind of on the outside without being enclosed, shopping centers. And we're talking today on the LP Zone about that exact thing. I'm your host of the radio show today, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. Glad that you've joined us on this 27th day of June, 2012. Wow. Another month is gone. Wow. All right, we've got a lot to talk about today. In just a little bit, we'll be talking about being on patrol out in the mall area and the various things that you'll come upon. This is actually part one of a three-part series on mall security. You know, mall security is absolutely nothing like what the movies have depicted it to be and the stereotype that you hear and all the jokes, and you know, it's just not that way. So we'll get into that here in a little bit. Hope that you have been enjoying our series on the use of force on Monday nights. If you haven't listened to it, then we encourage you to go back and listen to part one and two, and also the previous shows on the how to articulate the use of force, because that really is very, very important, especially in the retail environment. If you are a loss prevention agent, a mall security officer, it's very important to understand your limits, your scope of authority, how much, you know, you can do, how much force to use, and it's really a quick assessment. You have to be very quick at what you do, and that's hard to do sometimes, especially in the heat of battle, in the heat of moment, but it is a necessity in this line of work. So I hope that you have listened to it, but if not, please go back and listen to how to articulate the use of force, part one and two, very important, as well as the use of force, part one and two. Part three will be coming up on this Monday evening, and that will be July 2nd, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So very important subjects, and we hope that you've enjoyed them, and if not, that you'll go back and listen to them, because it's very, very important. Here on the LP Zone, if you're a first-time listener, well, there's a few things that you'll need to know. LP Zone is brought to you by the Private Officer International Association. We, like I said in the intro, are a private police and security organization with members throughout the country and around the world. If you're not a member, we encourage you to become one. Go to our website after the show and check us out at www.privateofficer.com. We offer a lot of benefits to our members, a lot of resources that you can't find elsewhere, and we have a specific loss prevention division which we have a lot of training that we can offer. We have resources not available at any other site, and we also have free consulting to our members. So we really encourage you to join today if you're not already a member. A few weeks ago, we also spoke about a couple of other subjects that was very important to the LP Zone. Wednesdays is our loss prevention show. Mondays is our show that involves uniform security and private police. But on Wednesdays, if this is your first time catching us, you'll hear everything that has to do with the LP, loss prevention world, and mall security world. We do have guests on the show. We talk about a lot of different subjects. In recent weeks, we've talked about graffiti, the graffiti culture. We've talked about kiting, the act of floating checks between banks, something that has, kind of been reborn recently. It disappeared after the Check 21 law was passed, but it's back. We have talked about fraud. We've talked about credit card fraud. We've talked about how organized crime works across the country in the retail area, and many other subjects that have to do with the LP world. And we hope that you caught all of those. But if not, those are always available here 24/7, and you can download them at your convenience. Recently, we also was talking about how the mafia, the LP organized crime syndicates, is really the New Day Mafia. And we did a whole series on that, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy that. Just check it out anytime at your convenience. Hey, do you know anybody in the media world, maybe a local reporter at a local TV, radio, or newspaper? Over the next 4 months, we're involved in a large branding campaign, as well as getting the word out for our Memorial Ride. If you have not heard about this, Private Officer International sponsors a weekly memorial once a year on the third week of September every year, where we recognize and hold ceremonies for the private security officers, including LP agents and mall security, who are killed in the line of duty. Now, this year, 2012, September 5th through the 22nd, we are holding a large memorial ride across country, and we'd like to get the word out. So if you have friends in the media world, be sure to contact them and send their information our way so that we can tell them what's going on. We're also, of course, looking for sponsors and donations. Go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. Right there on the homepage is a banner. Click on that and you'll get more information about how to donate, how to sponsor, how to be involved in the upcoming Memorial Ride. While we're on the air, we'd like to invite you to email us anytime at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. You can also submit any news, training events, or other information, including promotions, if you'd like, to us, and we'll announce those free on the air. You can also follow us 24/7 right there from our main webpage at www.privateofficer. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, also our news blog, which is updated several times a day. You can follow our own forums. We've got a lot of stuff happening there. If you're not already a member, please check it out and join today free of charge. And, of course, you can follow us. Just everything that we do is right there on the homepage. You can link into all aspects of Private Officer. We'd like to also let you know about how you can be a guest if you'd like to be on air with us and talk about something involving loss prevention, retail security. Maybe you're a manager at a store, or possibly a security manager or a fraud investigator. We'd love to have you. Just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. And we're also looking for hosts to host their own shows. If you'd like to have your own weekly, biweekly, or monthly show, you can do that. You can piggyback right off from our platform here, and you'll have built-in listeners. We have thousands across the country and around the world. If you'd like more information, send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. Radio@privateofficer.com. We're going to take just a few minutes here, and we'll be right back.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
What's the first thing you think of when I say security, law enforcement, and medical training? I think of Public Safety Training Incorporated. For security law enforcement training classes like pepper spray, tactical handcuffing, anti-terrorism, basic baton skills, guard card and firearm classes, and taser device courses. Or medical training classes like CPR and AED for adults, children, and infants, or CPR for healthcare providers, first aid, bloodborne pathogens, and wilderness first aid. And many more classes like California, Utah, and Florida concealed weapons certificates. So if you're thinking the same thing I am, give Public Safety Incorporated a call at 805-556-4450. Or check out Public Safety Incorporated's webpage at pstrainingpros.com.
We are back here on the LP Zone for this Wednesday afternoon. It sure is hot. I was going to say warm, but no, it's actually hot out there. Whew, hope that you are staying cool. We do have some information for you coming up in the program that deals with the heat. And if you're a mall security officer, definitely you'll want to hear that. We talked earlier about our membership, and if you're not a member, we definitely encourage you to be a member here at Private Officer International. But we also have a fantastic training division, and we have an online training school, and we've had a training school for about 6 or 7 years now. We also have regional seminars, use of force, loss prevention seminars, You and the Law, and a number of other seminars dealing with a number of topics which are very pertinent to your position. Check them out at our website at www.privateofficer.com. We encourage you to become a certified asset protection professional or a certified retail security manager. Our training is some of the best that you'll find, and it's very inexpensive. Go to our website at www.privateofficer.com and click on the Academy. It's really a necessity these days to have as much experience and training as possible, not only, you know, because it's going to help you on your day-to-day, but it's also going to help you if you do have a situation where you've used, some force or you are called into court or you're sued. Yes, you can be sued individually. A lot of folks don't know that. They think, well, my employer is going to take it. No, your employer's not going to handle it, buddy. You're probably going to be terminated, and you'll be sued individually. But we have a lot of information and training available for you as a member. And even as a non-member, you can take the training online and become certified. So check it out at www.privateofficer.com/academy. We are very excited because we've recently added some new benefits to our member benefits. We've already had, about 40. But we recently added a 5-star member service For our members, which includes some additional benefits, including credit unions. We have several credit unions that we have been able to negotiate service with. And that's very important because with credit unions, you have low-cost interest rates, low-cost financing, usually zero administrative cost. Checking accounts are usually free, all sorts of free services because they are member-based. We also expanded our free training and legal services, consulting, and a whole bunch of other things for our members. Check it out today at privateofficer.com. Click on the membership page, and if you're not a member, join today. And if you are, check out all the new benefits. We also have a brand new, very classy, good-looking new member ID card that's being produced right now, and everyone will get one of those. They'll be mailed out to you shortly. We're pretty excited about that because they are really sharp. I was going to say beautiful, but that may stretch it a little bit. I also want to remind you that tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, everything is Eastern Time because we are based in the East Coast, we're having a virtual chapter conference call, This will allow you to become involved in a chapter if you're not already assigned to one, you don't have one in your area. Tonight will be the kickoff of our new virtual chapters, and you can get involved. You can join the conference call. You don't have to be a member. You can join tonight and learn more information. 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Call 712-432-0800. Again, that number, 712-432-0800. The PIN number is 843-081, 843-081. Tonight we'll be talking about the virtual chapters. We'll be getting involved in some upcoming things that we're doing, and it will give you a chance to be part of a chapter, like I said, if there's not one already in your area. If you would like to form a chapter in your area, please go to our website at www.privateofficer.com/chapters. There is an audio clip there. Just listen to that audio clip and then contact us. Let us know that you're interested, and we'll go from there. It's very easy to set one up. You need six members, which includes yourself, and you need to be a member of Private Officer International. You need to fill out a short form, have a interview, and we'll help you from there. It's very cool to have a chapter in your area because there's so many things that you can do. It's a great place for networking, for training. We use it for benevolent services for those officers injured in the area or, God forbid, killed. We also use it as a resource to be involved in the community, to keep track of legislative acts that may involve the private security industry. And it's just a anchor in that region for the private security industry. And, it, you know, it's really something that's fantastic. Outside of as is, the American Society of Industrial Security, there's no other organization that has that. So it's really excellent. And really, if you don't have a chapter in your area, we encourage you to start one today and to get involved simply by sending an email to us after you've listened, of course, and just send an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. You know, it's that privateofficer.com thing. And we will help you to establish one in your area. No biggie. We do have some breaking news to tell you about right now coming across the wires. Unfortunately, we have to tell you about three security personnel who have been killed or died in the line of duty over the last 48 hours. If you are on our email list and you were notified sometime within the last 8 hours of these unfortunate deaths, we do have three different separate ones and a number of serious injuries as well. David Knoll, 23 years of age, died in Chicago, Illinois, of a gunshot wound that he suffered while struggling with a man who would not leave a business. We do not believe the suspect is in custody, but we are staying on top of this breaking news, and we will bring you more in the upcoming days. A security supervisor at the Northwest University in Kirkland, Washington, Puni McKaylee, suffered a massive heart attack while on duty and did not survive, unfortunately. He was well-loved, and his funeral will be coming up in a few days. If you're in the Kirkland, Washington area, Seattle, Washington, please let us know so that you can assist us with that. Selena Hollis, 32, of Denver, Colorado, was working off-duty. She was a full-time police officer with the Denver Police Department, but she was off-duty, and she was working as a security officer at a jazz festival in Denver when she was shot in the head, unfortunately succumbed to her injuries. An arrest has been made. Officer Hollis was 32, and as I say, she was working off-duty in the capacity of a security officer at that time. Unfortunately, she did succumb to her bullet wound. Atlanta, Georgia police say that a security officer heard a person screaming when he went to investigate. He found a robbery in progress. He tried to intervene, and he was shot. The security officer is reported in good condition. A St. Louis officer was also shot trying to stop a robbery. The suspect fled. The suspect is still at large. Police say the security officer is in good condition. And in Portland, Oregon, a female security officer suffered serious injuries after she confronted a trespasser. The suspect got into a vehicle and fled, purposely striking the security officer and running her down. My understanding is that she has since been released from the hospital, but she is still recuperating from those injuries. That has been the breaking news from Private Officer International. If you're not aware, Private Officer International does monitor more than 400 news sites, and we also receive a number of news alerts and press releases from police across the country, as well as the federal government. And we are constantly monitoring the news involving loss prevention, private security, law enforcement, public safety, anything else that really has to do with you know, our industry. Now, we do have a great system. We announce all of the breaking news immediately via the news alerts that we send out, just like any other news organization, and we do monitor 24 hours a day. So if you'd like to receive those, as soon as something breaks and happens, we send those news alerts out. You can sign up, of course, right where else? Where else? Right there from our homepage at www.privateofficer.com. Sign up today for breaking news. You can also sign up to be part of our all of our emails that we send out, including our business emails. And, you know, just go to our website at privateofficer.com and sign up today. We have a lot of great things that we do. We are also a statistical clearinghouse. We collect data that involves private security, the injuries, the lawsuits, the deaths, and unfortunately, we are seeing a large increase in armed confrontations and, you know, private security across the board, including loss prevention. A lot of confrontations. I've said this before on this radio show. Back in my day, I spent a little more than 8 years in loss prevention, including being a district manager for a retail LP department. And, you know, we had an armed confrontation maybe once a year. We had, you know, more than a little push and shove, an aggressive confrontation or struggle or fight, maybe once or twice a month, maybe, you know, every few months. Now it's every day, every other day. every other shoplifter. So times are definitely changing, and it's very important that you have the information, the training, the knowledge, the education to keep you safe, to keep you from being charged with any offense or sued. And if you're looking at loss prevention, mall security as a career, and they are great careers, you can really, I mean, this is an area of private security that you can really do well in quickly. You can go from being an LP agent at a retail store to being, a loss prevention manager, a trainer, a district manager, a regional manager, a VP of loss prevention, and on and on and on. Lots of opportunities. Same thing with mall security. You can become a mall security manager, a regional security director for a property management company and other areas of the industry, and really make substantial money. So this is actually an area of the security industry where you can make money. You know, people always say, well, you can't make any money, $8 or $10 an hour. No, there's a lot of areas in private security that you can actually make money. So in order to be qualified, of course, you have to have training, you have to have experience, you have to have knowledge. And that's where Private Officer International really does come in, because we have a lot of great training, a lot of great resources, and we're there for you every day. I mean, we're there to help you with your career as well as with your safety. So if you need more information, go to privateofficer.com today. We have a couple of great regional training seminars coming up, one being held in Nashville, Tennessee, and one being held in Charlotte, North Carolina next month, beginning of August, somewhere in there. This will be a use of force, skill-based, hands-on. Whether you are armed or unarmed, you're still going to be using some level of force, and it's important to get this training. If you'd like more information, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. And if you're already on our email list, then you'll get a news alert coming up soon telling you where, when, and how much. Now, if you're a member of Private Officer International, most of our training is free or as little as $25. If you're a non-member, again, training is usually between $49 and $79 at the most. And this is training that we can definitely offer elsewhere for several hundred dollars per person. So, you know, we understand that private security aren't paid that much, and so we try to keep it as low as possible. We have a few more things to share with you before we head on over to talk about today's subject, but we are going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jesse James Leha. In my championship victories, it took training, planning, and these hands to give me the protection to survive and win. But out here in the water, this life jacket gives me the protection to survive and live. Don't take chances. Make sure everyone on board wears a life jacket. Wear it. Póntelo. Do it for your family.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and I got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
I love this, and I get paid for it.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for joining us here on the LP Zone, the Loss Prevention Zone, where it's all about you, the LP agent, retail security agent, fraud investigator, mall security officer. You're listening to us here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you have joined us. So we've got some great training coming up here. We'll be talking in just a moment about actually being out in mobile patrol in the mall. And the things that you should be on the lookout for, the things that you're going to come into contact with, and you probably know better than I if you've been out there for a while, but we're going to kind of go over a few things and readdress a few things. And over the next few weeks, we'll be talking with a mall that actually just began using a canine security team, a dog team in the mall. We know of hospitals and colleges that have used canine teams for quite a while. And we're also familiar with another shopping mall that also has a canine team, but it's pretty unique, unheard of. I don't even think that Mall of America has a canine team. They might. I might have to check on that one. But it's very, very unique. So I'm excited to be talking to these folks coming up, hopefully next week if we can get our schedules matched up. And we're also, over the next few weeks, we'll be talking in part two and three of mall security. We'll also be talking to a law enforcement officer who will talk to us about how to handle different situations from the aspect of private security here in the mall. And we'll also be talking to another mall security manager, a very large mall, in fact, in Atlanta, Georgia. So we have a lot of great guests coming up to talk to you about this particular subject. So don't miss out the next few weeks. And, of course, join us every Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern for the loss, not the loss prevention, but for the Private Officer Talk Radio. That is a great show also. We often have a lot of great guests there. And like I said, if you miss us, if you're working, you know, shift work, you just never know when you're going to be on duty. If you do miss us, you can always listen to the playback 24/7 free of charge right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We are always looking for ways to help people. We're always looking for ways to assist our members. Coming up in the next few weeks, we have a brand new video training on how you can actually make additional income by helping to promote and sell services, products, memberships, and training that's offered through Private Officer International. You can become a certified independent marketing associate by taking the online video training and the exam, and then it will allow you to go out and contact both individuals and businesses, introduce them to Private Officer International as well as our services and training and so forth, and you can make anywhere from $20 to several hundred dollars per sale. And it's a great opportunity for you, really, not only to make more income, but to really get out and network with other folks, businesses that may use the services. And it really will help you in your contacts as well as in your pocketbook, in your wallet. So we're pretty excited about that. Also want to mention another type of training that is coming up. We are in the process of producing a video training on the Officer Down Response Team. If you're not familiar with that, that is actually something that the POI organization has been doing for quite some time. Anytime that we are made aware of a security officer injured or unfortunately killed in the line of duty, as those that we just announced, our Officer Down Response Team or our network of chaplains are dispatched to assist us to assess the needs of that security officer. Now, sometimes it's just moral support. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes we need to hook them up with a chaplain or a counselor. Sometimes we just need to get them a ride home. You know, they've been injured and taken to a hospital. Now they don't have a way home. We're there to assist them, and we're putting together a short but precise and concise training on our Officer Down Response Teams. Be looking forward to that. Like I said earlier, if you're on our email list, you're going to get heads up first on everything that's happening at the POI, you know. So It's a great tool to communicate with us and to know what's going on, because that's how we communicate. There's three ways that we communicate. So if you follow these three ways, then you'll know everything. You'll have the heads up instantly. Follow our radio program. We really make all of our announcements each week through our radio programs on Mondays and Wednesdays. Follow our news alerts. They're very important to be part of that system. Also, make sure that you are on the forums, because through the forums, you'll also get a heads up instantly on everything that's happening, all of our training, all of our upcoming events, the officer down information, injuries and deaths of security officers, everything involving the industry. Now, there's one other thing that I really want to kind of stress here. I know that we have listeners from all over the country and even around the world. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand or believe that there's a company or an organization that's out there to assist them. But there is such an organization. So if you're a member, take advantage of that. Contact us when you need assistance, have a question, or need some type of resource. If you're not a member, again, we ask that you become a member and support us, and there's a lot of benefits and resources for you if you do take advantage of that. We're going to switch gears and go very quickly into a few training notes that I'd like to go over today, and then next week, we hope to have our guest with the K-9 team, and the following week, we'll wrap up part three of mall security. Today in the training segment, we are talking about mall security patrol. Whether you're a rookie or a old-timer, a veteran, or someone who really is just thinking about getting into mall security, let me tell you immediately, unequivocally, hands down, mall security is nothing like the TV, the media has portrayed it to be. It's not a bunch of rejects or dumbos or cop wannabes. In every profession and every industry, you're always going to have a few people that, you know, just don't fit in and they're not good at their job, period. But honestly, many malls are very stringent on who they put out there, because these mall security officers are just like patrol officers in the city. A mall is nothing less than a city within a city. That's right. Everything that happens within a city eventually happens at the mall. I can tell you from experience that people think that just maybe some theft, some shoplifting's happen, an occasional car break-in. But everything that happens in your town and in your city comes into your mall. I've had cases of grand theft auto, you know, felony shoplifting, organized crime, drugs, rape, assault, domestic violence, even murder in a shopping mall. Everything that can happen in the city can and will and does happen at the mall. Criminals and people with problems don't stop at the entrance to the mall and go, oh, this is a mall, I better not go in there because they don't allow this crap. No, they don't. Crime doesn't stop at the curb and the driveway to the mall. In fact, crime often finds its way into the mall every day of the week. Whether you see it, hear it, or know about it, it's there. Oftentimes in the shadows, criminals are lurking. There are many different things, criminal related and non-criminal related, that occur at the shopping mall. And as a private patrol officer, as a private security officer, whether you're patrolling inside the mall or outside the mall, there is plenty to do. I know of a number of security officers who work the mall beat who have the same adage as beat officers out on the street. And their theory and their theme is there's always something to do as long as I'm looking. Even on a quiet day, I know where to go and find something to do if I want to. So if you are one of those proactive patrol officers, whether you're at the mall or the college, the school campus, a business, or even a general patrol for a company, there's always something for you to get into if you want to. In my 38 years in law enforcement and security, you know, regardless of what beat I'm working, regardless of what job I have, if I want to find things to do, if I want to find crime, if I want to catch a bad guy, I can. It's up to me. I hate to say that old saying, if it's the bee, it's up to me. Well, that's kind of how it is when you're on patrol. When you're a patrol officer, there's all sorts of things that you can get involved in. You may not see it at first glance, but there are tons of things to do. All right, let's break it down a little bit for you. So today we're talking about exterior patrol only, exterior patrol. Many shopping malls, not most, but many, rotate their internal and external patrol. So you may be on external patrol for 4 hours driving the patrol vehicle and 4 hours walking a beat inside. Sometimes a mall doesn't do that. Sometimes they have specific assignments. You may be on patrol outside for the whole day or for the whole week and rotate weekly or every other day. Malls operate a little bit different, but generally these are the three ways that that officers work. So you're on patrol. How is staffing in most malls? Think about it for a moment. Regardless if you're in Virginia, California, or Texas, mall security basically is broken down in the same type of staffing situations. You have one-man vehicle, one-man patrol, and some of the larger malls have two vehicles, which have sectors. They may take the east side of the mall, and the other officer takes the west side. Some don't. Some you have the whole complete mall. You just go around and around and around. Sometimes you're just there for looks. But if you want to be proactive, you can be. Here are some of the things that you need to be looking for when you're on patrol in the exterior area of the mall. Obviously, we're looking for loitering. We're looking for anybody who's hanging out on foot, even at the perimeter of the property. Oftentimes, that's where people will go to scope out the vehicles, scope out the shoppers to see, if it's busy. If there's a lot of elderly people there today, they'll be scoping them out for purse snatching. That's where car thieves hang out, often around the perimeter of the property, sometimes in the parking lot, in the backside, checking everything out, and sometimes on the exterior of the property, maybe across the street in another business or next door. So we're looking for vehicles that have been hanging out, occupied. We're looking for loitering, people on foot, both inside the property and at the perimeter line. We're also looking for suspicious persons, vehicles, or events. Now, suspicious is one of those words that's subjective. I mean, it's something that, suspicious to me may not be suspicious to you. But with experience, you understand what suspicious activity is. So if you have people that is going in and out of the shopping center, out of the mall, and going to their vehicle dumping clothes, especially if they're dumping them from bags or from, unmarked bags that don't belong at the mall, or dumping them from inside their clothing, obviously you have a theft in progress. And I know that they have probably told you that if you don't see them shoplifting, there's nothing you can do. That's not true. If you see somebody dumping merchandise, taking it out of their clothes, or you see them dumping them out of bags, especially bags that don't belong at the mall, for instance, Walmart bags, but there's no Walmart at your mall, that is called reasonable suspicion, same as probable cause. You can investigate. You can ask them for receipts. And even though you didn't see the shoplifting, now you have a different crime. It's not theft, but it's possession of stolen property. And through a little investigation with the assistance of the local police department, you're going to have a couple of felony charges or more for possession, receiving, and possessing stolen property. It's something that you need to get involved in. If you see it, you definitely want to contact your supervisor and the police. We're looking for out-of-place people, vehicles, or items. If you see a vehicle, like I said earlier, that's often parked to the back of where all the other vehicles are, for instance, on the west side, he may be up further toward the street, and they've been sitting there for a few hours, he may be waiting for somebody in the mall, or he may be scoping the place out. We need to get out and investigate, you know, identify them. Unfortunately, a lot of times when security personnel get out to ask a few questions, they never identify them. You have the authority to ask for their identification, ask for their driver's license. Sir, you seem a little out of place. Can you tell me what's going on? Well, yeah, I'm waiting for so-and-so. Okay, well, do you have your driver's license with you? You have a right to write that information down. Do it in a polite and courteous way, but of course this gives you an opportunity to see what's inside the vehicle and what's happening. Maybe they're doing some drugs. Recently, a mall security officer caught somebody cooking meth in the vehicle in a shake and bake situation, which is basically putting the contents of the drug into a bottle and shaking it and making it right there in the vehicle. You have the authority to check out anything going on in a vehicle or on the property. You're the agent of the property. Always be respectful. Always be, you know, courteous in your investigation. But by being proactive, you're going to prevent things from happening. I know a lot of security departments, managers and supervisors and management mall management, they think, well, as long as that patrol car is going around and around with lights flashing, that's going to deter crime. No, it doesn't. How many times have you seen a city police car parked, you know, in a special parking spot for them at the mall, and there's still shoplifting going on? There's still purse snatchings because they know the officer can't be every place. They know the officer's not going to see everything. And the same thing with mobile patrols at the mall. Most criminals, you know, those patrols don't really deter them. They may go to the other side of the mall. They may be a little bit more sneaky when they're stealing a car, but, you know, it doesn't really put them off too much. While we're on patrol, we're also looking year-round, not just in the summer, but we're also looking for kids, pets, or the elderly left in the car. I often have people ask, well, how old can a kid be, you know, to be left in a vehicle? How old? Because I don't want to get in trouble. Usually, in most states, the age is 12 and over, 13, 14 in some states. It really depends on your state. But if they are capable of taking care of themselves, they're not locked into the vehicle. They have access to be able to roll down the window, open the door if they get hot, then they're okay. But when you have kids that are, you know, an infant, 1 year old, 2 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old, even 10 years old often is too young in most cities, most states. We need to investigate. Of course, during the summer, we're very concerned for heat stroke and heat-related, being dehydrated. If you've ever come out after shopping or after work and got into your vehicle in the middle of the day, it's very hot, even in winter. A lot of people don't realize that on a sunny day in the winter, a vehicle can still heat up in excess of 100, 110 degrees. In the summer, very quickly to 130. A little window rolled down a half of an inch is not enough to ventilate a dog or person. When you see this, you need to immediately contact law enforcement and EMS and get them rolling. Do you have authority to bust a window? That is completely in your judgment. You have to do what's best for you. We've talked about this on previous shows. Even if your company, your supervisor, does not want you to, if it's a life and death situation, you definitely have the authority to. If it's 99 degrees out, this weekend in most parts of the South, it's going to be 100 or more. If you have somebody locked up in a vehicle and you think that they're in danger of heat stroke or death, you definitely have a right to pop that window before police or EMS can get there. In the winter time, we're looking for hyperthermia. We're looking for folks who are suffering from the cold, child, dog, or an elderly person. Be looking for those heads in the vehicle. And get out once in a while, even if you're on mobile patrol, and start checking vehicles on foot, because it's very important that we catch these things, you know, in a timely manner to prevent serious injury or even death. Malls are often used for stolen vehicles. Vehicles are often dropped off at the mall, and oftentimes a secondary vehicle is picked up at the mall. So a mall is often the dump site for stolen cars, and it's also where they pick up a secondary vehicle. Again, your alertness, your proactiveness will result in the recovery of not only stolen cars and stolen property, but also in an actual car theft probably in progress. You have to be alert. You have to know what is normal activity and what is not normal activity on your site. But also, we have security officers in shopping malls that will often keep good records of vehicles that are driving in and out suspiciously and don't look like they belong, don't look like they're shopping, and they notate those tags, and they have helped in a number to solve a number of cases, including auto burglary, thefts, frauds, and so forth. So being a good investigator, recording the information, being alert, it's all part of being a external mall security officer, being on patrol. Here's a couple of quick tips on how to recognize a stolen vehicle. Obviously, if you are out walking and you see a popped column where the column has been cracked, obviously it's probably going to be a stolen vehicle. If you see the ignition is popped or that there's a key still in the ignition, oftentimes that's not going to be a key at all. It's going to be a piece of metal that has been ground down to make a key, and that's going to be a definite stolen vehicle. Busted windows, vent windows. If you see a vent window popped, oftentimes that's how they gain access. They pop the vent window, and then they use a coat hanger or something to pop open the lock. That's a sure sign. You can also oftentimes discover a stolen vehicle with a loose tag or a hanging tag license plate, or where screws are missing out of the license plate. Oftentimes when they steal vehicles and they put other license plates on the vehicles, they don't take the time to screw them down all the way because they're only going to be there for a short time, and they often use multiple license plates on the vehicle, so that is also a key. There's a number of other ways that you can identify a stolen vehicle, and you just have to be alert to know the signs, to know what's going on. If there's glass inside the vehicle on the floorboard, obvious signs of possible stolen vehicle. Also, if it has a paper cardboard tag, sometimes that's a giveaway. If the tag is a temporary tag and it's inside where you can't see it, that's also a giveaway. Sometimes it's just an unregistered vehicle, but sometimes it is a stolen vehicle. Some of the other things to look for when you're on patrol is a quick hand-to-hand out the car windows. That's a sure sign of drug activity often. So if you see people coming and going at certain points in the mall, especially on the backside often, and they just pull up, a car sitting there for a few hours, and you see two or three cars pull up and they exchange out the window, usually you have a hand-to-hand transaction. Somebody's using the parking lot for their little drug store, and you may want to investigate and have law enforcement come through. Also, be sure to be checking for cars roaming, never shopping, suspiciously, just cruising. Sometimes it's just teenagers having fun, and other times it really is somebody up to no good. And we also want to be looking for vehicles parked in the fire lane. Now, recently I was at a shopping mall, and I counted at least 7 or 8 vehicles around several major stores in the fire lane in the mall. Security cruised on by, never got out, never said a word. Let me tell you, that may be just a fire lane violation, but it also could be the getaway car for a robbery, for shoplifting, for a serious felony happening. It's important to get out and investigate, record those tags, every single one of them, speak to the drivers, get them moving. If they don't want to move, that may be a sign that they're waiting for their cohorts who are committing crimes inside, and you may want to call law enforcement. There's a lot of other things to be on the lookout for. Be on the lookout for customers needing assistance with lockout of their vehicle. Some malls don't assist with that, but you can certainly call a wrecker. Dead batteries, possibly from cars left with their lights on. You're looking for fuel leaks from vehicles. Those are definitely safety issues, and they do happen in the mall. One of the things that I didn't touch on, I know that some malls recently got license plate scanners. Those are pretty cool, but unless you have access to law enforcement databases, they're only good for the place that they've scanned inside your mall property. That's it for today's Loss Prevention Zone. We hope that you've enjoyed it. Be sure to be with us on Monday when we go to wrap up part 3 on the use of force. And next Wednesday, we'll be in part 2 of the LP Zone Mall Security. Until then, be safe, be blessed. We'll see you right back here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network.